Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we made it to the last Sunday of the Christmas season. This is day 10 of the 12 days of Christmas, if you're counting. Epiphany is this Tuesday, officially the end of the Christmas season. And next week, we're going to celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And starting tomorrow, we all get back to our normal routines. I hope you're as excited about that as I am. So today, we, so to speak, put a wrap on this year's Christmas season. And to do that, I want to ask, what do you think about in regards to what has happened or has been celebrated in the last 4 to 5 weeks? As you sit at home this afternoon, probably relishing in that Seahawk victory from last night, look back at the Christmas season and ask yourself, what do I see? I mean, really look back, and what do you see when you do? If you think about it, there really is quite a lot to look at. It started with Thanksgiving, and I know Thanksgiving is its own holiday, but let's be honest here. Thanksgiving really just marks the beginning of the Christmas season, doesn't it? Early Advent Sunday happened this year, and suddenly our lives are abruptly shifted into a singular focus, and that's getting ready for Christmas Day. During those weeks, there was shopping, traveling, parties, decorating, there was dinner with friends. And how will we ever forget this Christmas season with the atmospheric river, or formerly known as the Pineapple Express, that flooded Western Washington rivers and communities from Vancouver in the south to Blaine in the north. And just when we thought that we had survived it all, the windstorm plunged many of our houses into darkness for days as trees downed power lines. Quite a Christmas season, wasn't it? All of this coupled together with crowded stores, jammed up parking lots, and the occasional bell ringer. We end up with all of this together with quite a collection of items that society and even ourselves sometimes say what makes up the Christmas season. But is that all there is to see? Years ago, I read an article somewhere about the origin of the name January on our calendars. It was probably online, so I'm pretty sure it's true. And the month was named after a Greek god that looks both forward and backwards at the same time, seeing what has happened and seeing what is coming together. And this can be rather appropriate for us today as we move forward into Epiphany and the rest of the church year. You see, it's important for us to see where we have been. We need to be aware of what has happened, because without it, the rest of the church year doesn't make any sense. So as we look back, I want you to look past all of these things that we've already talked about, and I want you to focus on one single thing of the Christmas season, and that's God's grace. You see, for many of us, the Christmas story and the season has become very compartmentalized. We talk about it for a few weeks a year, suddenly it's over, we let it go, and we get back tomorrow to our regular lives and so on. But when we do that, when we set it aside, if not the single greatest miracle that has ever happened takes place and we miss it. God's breaking into human history in the form of the man, Jesus. And where do we see God's grace in this? It has to do with the fact that the human race is so corrupted by sin that every person born before today and every person born after today has no hope of anything other than everlasting condemnation. That's it. There's nothing else. But in his grace, God would not let that stand. Something had to be done. And that something was someone, Jesus. In the opening verses of John's gospel, he tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now let that sink in for just a minute. God, the creator of the universe, set aside all his glory, his power, his might. He steps out of eternity, whatever that looks like, into time. He was born like every other person on this earth and was completely dependent on his parents for everything he needed to survive because he is gracious. Unfortunately, the profoundness of that statement is often rushed over by us Lutherans because so much of our theology and our confessions are tied to the fact that Jesus is true God and true man. Perhaps that's why the Christmas story is a nice one, and it's fun for a few weeks, and then when it's over, we set it aside and we move on. I don't know, maybe the other reason for that is that we tend to set it aside or look back and not see all that much about it, is that there is so little about the early life of Jesus after the Christmas story. Luke is the only one that gives us a bit of insight into the childhood of Jesus, and it is very little. Our gospel reading for today is the account of Jesus in the temple teaching and speaking with the elders. And that's it. We spend 4 weeks celebrating the birth of Jesus, and then we spend the rest of the year on the last 3 years or so of his life, and in particular, his death and resurrection. But when you look back at the Christmas story and you miss God's grace, you cannot fully appreciate his mercy at the cross. Mercy, as we define it, is not getting what we deserve. We were the ones that deserved to be put on that cross for our actions. But again, God would not let that happen. His love for us was simply too great to see his beloved creation condemned forever. But you see, there's a problem. The solution requires more than anyone on this earth could do. It would take someone who is sinless and holy. You see, someone who was without sin would be able to pay for someone else's sins. We see it in the unblemished lamb at the Passover. Now, aside from being sinless, in order to pay for the sins of humans, the one paying the price must also be human. It takes a human to pay for human sins. And finally, this was such a monumental task that the one required to, as the payer, to be able to overcome sin and death. The one paying the price must be God himself. As God looks around, there's only one who meets this very specific requirement, his one and only Son, Jesus. God looks upon his creation in mercy, and he sends Jesus to the cross instead of us. He heaps upon him the wrath of our sin, and at the same time, we are declared righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus. We are now his children. We are inheritors of heaven and all of the kingdom. And it all started as Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloth and laid in a manger. What this means is that we can't look at the cute, cuddly Jesus, only hours old, being held in his young mother's arms without seeing the cross. And it is impossible for us to stand at the foot of the cross and grasp the enormity of God's love for us without also seeing the manger. In the next few months, we are going to find ourselves standing in a very unique position between the two defining actions of our loving God, Christmas and Easter, grace and mercy. If you look back at the Christmas season and all you see are Amazon trucks, crowded Walmarts, and decorated trees, then Easter soon will only be the beginning of spring, colored eggs, and bunnies. However, by looking back at Christmas and sifting through all of the stuff that we have added, all of the stuff that we Americans enjoy about Christmas, and see God's grace in the sending of His Son, then you are able to link that small baby, who was and still is sinless, fully human and fully God, to the mercy that God shows on the cross. Paul, in his letter to Ephesus, wraps this idea up very succinctly as he writes, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Amen. We continue with our